Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to talk about covetousness and, more importantly, how to deal with covetousness. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, and look with me at verse 5. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is defined in the Merriam-Webster dictionary as an inordinate desire for wealth or possessions. In other words, it's not uncommon to want a little more money or to want something, maybe another dress or another fishing rod. An inordinate desire for wealth or possessions is a driving force where you want it bad enough, you are going to do everything you can to get it. Covetousness is what Jesus warned his disciples about in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, a couple of men wanted Jesus Christ to sort out their inheritance. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." You see that? The abundance of the things which he possesseth. And what was that? He said, "Beware of covetousness." Now, here he's talking about the abundance of possessions, but covetousness really deals with more than just possessions or wealth, according to the Bible. When you read the 10th commandment in Exodus chapter 20, that commandment says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house." That's a possession. "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife." That's a person. "Nor his manservant." That's a person. "Nor his maidservant." That's a person. "Nor his ox." That's an animal. "Nor his ass." "Nor anything that is thy neighbor's." In other words, you can covet more than wealth and possessions. You can covet people. You can covet anything. Paul called covetousness idolatry. When we read our text in Colossians chapter 3, he said, "Mortify, therefore, your deeds upon the earth." I'm going back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence," watch it, "and covetousness, which is idolatry." So Paul is telling you that a covetous person or covetous man is an idolater. And you know that from Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, Paul said, "This ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So a covetous man is an idolatrous man. He's an idolater. Why is that? Because he puts the thing that he desires above God. Now, if you talk to any Christian alive today and said, "Well, are you putting that thing you desire above God?" Every person to the man, every person to the woman, every person to the child would deny it. "No, I'm not putting this above God." Oh, my. But that's only because you do not want to be called an idolater. The truth of the matter is, God knows that you desire that thing more than you desire the things of God, or more than you desire God. That's why he said a covetous man is an idolater. though you will not acknowledge that. Not at first, anyway. Now, you know something about covetousness? God said that this particular sin, covetousness, will affect your inheritance in the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul said this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves," watch it, "nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So a covetous man is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. You know, you may not realize this because covetousness is the fabric of our society today. A capitalistic society, a consumer-based capitalistic society, is a covetous society. It is based on this one philosophy: give them what they want. And the Lord abhors covetousness. He says so in Psalm 10, verse 3. Psalm 10:3, if you're not familiar with it, says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth." Back there in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, when we were reading about covetousness in the New Testament, God's wrath is against the children of disobedience for this sin and others that are similar to it. In Ephesians 5:5, he's talking about a covetous man. And you know what? He doesn't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." So the wrath of God is upon the children of disobedience, and one of the sins committed by the children of disobedience is covetousness. He says the same thing in Colossians 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, our text, when he's talking about covetousness, which is idolatry, the Lord goes on to say in verse 6, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." He does not like that sin. If you go back to the Old Testament, to Joshua chapter 7, remember when Israel went in to the promised land, the first city they encountered was Jericho, and they marched around the city and the walls fell down. Joshua told them, he said, don't you put your hands on the spoil. It's all God's. Don't keep any of it. Well, Achan kept some of it. And that man who kept some of the spoil from Jericho did so, you know why? Because of covetousness. That covetousness in his heart is what resulted in him taking those items. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, when Achan is confessing his sin to the congregation, he says in Joshua 7:21, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." The thing that stirred his heart to commit that sin was covetousness. And you know what they did to that man, Achan? They killed him for it. Do you know the sin that destroyed Israel before the Babylonian captivity was covetousness? I mean, you know in Jeremiah that the Lord sent Nebuchadnezzar in, and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed that temple and took those captives and burned up that city. It was terrible what he did. You know why he did it? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13, among other things. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. Here's the condition of Israel before the Babylonian captivity. "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." Everyone was given to covetousness, and God just destroyed that country and those people. You say that's awful. Yeah, well, it puts into context clearly that this wrath of God against the children of disobedience, this abhorrence of the Lord for this sin, is real. You know, do you know what the sin is that is tearing up this generation of Christians in these perilous times? I'll tell you what it is. First one on the list, after men shall be lovers of their own selves, is covetousness. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This know also, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Number one, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Number two, covetous. Covetousness is tearing up this generation of Christians in these perilous times. It is the sin listed right after men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men who are lovers of their own selves, first problem, covetousness. Now, as you hear me preaching about covetousness, you know what? You do not think of yourself as covetous. You don't. Because you know it's idolatry and you know that you don't believe you're an idolater. But remember something. The Lord had to warn His own disciples in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, which we've already read. He had to warn them to beware of covetousness. Why? Because it's down in your heart. You come equipped with it. I came equipped with it. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Jesus Christ is describing why washing your hands is not as important as dealing with the sin in your heart. And He says in Mark chapter 7, verse 20, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, next word, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Covetousness, right there in the list. It's in you. And with the advent of television and movies and the internet and social media and all those other kinds of things, we are inundated with things. And we are inundated with people to covet. I mean, if you watch television, if you watch a sporting event, and you see all that advertising, that's how they're paying for the airtime for you to watch that thing. And the people who are showing you those advertisements intend for you to buy what you're looking at. They are appealing to your covetous nature, to covetousness in your heart. They know if they can show it to you, just like that Achan saw those things that he wasn't supposed to have, then he wanted them. It's the underlying thing that is driving the market economy, the consumer economy. Listen, if you think about it, David coveted Bathsheba. Now, we think of his sin with her as being the result of the lust of the eyes. You know, he saw her, and we make big deal out of using his eyes, and he saw her bathing down there. But he had wives. He had concubines. He could have lined with one of them if lust was his only problem. That wasn't his only problem. His problem was covetousness. He already knew she was a married woman. And he coveted his neighbor's wife and violated the Ten Commandments. That's why he took her. Because of covetousness. So listen, David was a man after God's own heart. He had a problem with covetousness. The disciples followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He told them, beware of covetousness. Listen, if he's warning them, and we know this about somebody like David, you've got to know that covetousness is something you're going to deal with, whether you want to admit it or not. And you have to know how to deal with covetousness. Here's the way to do it. Number one, you have to ask the Lord to search you. You know, when David wrote Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, I've quoted this passage of Scripture a few times lately in some of the studies and sermons, but it's so important. When David wrote, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. From Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, listen. David knew that there were things down in his heart like secret sins that he could not discern unless the Lord himself got involved and did the searching. I mean, some of the sins in your life are so obvious, you didn't even need to read the Bible to know they were sins. But some of your sins in your life and some of the sins in my life are not that obvious. And so we've got to have the Lord search us. So ask the Lord to search you. Get before the Lord and tell him that you want him to search your heart to show you that particular sin of covetousness is there if it is. And more than likely it is, because for from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds covetousness. Now what he'll do, in addition to searching your heart, he'll search your thoughts to show you how covetousness is affecting your thinking. In other words, you're thinking about the thing you want. You're thinking about the thing you desire. It comes up often. Not only that, he'll put his finger right on the sin and how that sin is manifesting itself in your heart. He'll show you the picture. He'll show you where you can't miss it. And listen, David said, "Search my heart, know my thoughts, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." The Lord, listen, the Lord will show you how covetousness is affecting your way. That is, he'll show you what you're doing in your life as a result of your covetousness, how you are manipulating people and how you are manipulating circumstances to get what you want. In other words, it's not just something that's down in your heart that you desire, that you have an affection for. It's not just something that you think about in your mind. You are actually working circumstances and people to get what you want. And so it's become such a part of, you're probably not even aware of the way that it has been messing with your mind and your heart and your actions. The Lord knows. He can see it as plain as the nose on your face, and he'll show it to you, and he has to show it to you so that you are convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that covetousness is down in there driving something in your heart. Second thing to do, acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your sin. I mean, that's what David did in Psalm 51. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And how did he go on to do this? This is with this particular sin with Bathsheba. He said in Psalm 51 in verse 4, he said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." He acknowledged his sin. So in other words, once the Lord shows you the covetousness that's in your heart, then acknowledge that God is right. I mean, I know you don't want to admit it, but admit it. God already knows. I mean, it's like going to the doctor, and he gives you a very thorough examination, and then he comes back and he gives you a diagnosis that you don't like. But deep down, you know he's right. And it's important that you agree with the doctor's diagnosis, particularly when your ailment is the result of an unhealthy habit in your life. In other words, he's telling you, you have to make a change in your life. Change your diet. Quit smoking. Quit drinking. Start exercising, or whatever he's telling you to do, because you are harming your body. You don't want to stop. But if you will acknowledge your sin and agree with the doctor, you can make a change. And so you have to agree with the Lord and say, "You know what, Lord, you're right. This covetousness is affecting my life." And agree with God in every detail of what he reveals to you about covetousness in your life. That is what you want. He's saying, you want that person or that thing or that possession or that money. You want it. And what you're willing to do to get it, and how you're thinking about it, and how you're feeding your desire to get it, and how you're arranging to get it, and all those other things. Just say, "You know what, Lord, you're identifying every aspect of how this sin is manifesting itself in my life." All right, do that. And then you know what you do after that? Repent. Repent. Once you acknowledge the sin, repent of it. And in the case of repenting from covetousness, repentance is always to turn from the sin, but I want to show you something in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You see, the Thessalonians were idolaters. And Paul said something that applies particularly to covetousness, because it is idolatry. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul said, "They themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So to repent is to turn away from this thing you idolize, that you covet, and to turn to God, because the thing or person you covet has become an idol in your life. And remember, it doesn't have to be this way, but your repentance is often accompanied by godly sorrow. In other words, there is a deep sadness and conviction in your heart over what you've done to God, such that it's painful enough you don't ever want to do it again. You're going to fight it, of course, but you just look at that and say, man, I am done with that. For godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. And there is a remorse, there's a sadness, there's a godly sorrow. I don't want to say just a feeling that just looks at that and says, man, I am so mad at myself for what I've done to you, God, and I'm truly sorry. And then the next thing to do. So you first of all ask the Lord to search you, and He'll show you all aspects of it, and then acknowledge your sin. Just admit you're right, Lord, and then repent. Turn from it. And the next thing to do is to reckon yourself dead. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, when we started this sermon on covetousness, Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon earth, and one of those is covetousness. He said, mortify it. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 that when we were saved, we were crucified with Christ. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, he therefore says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You see what he's saying? He says, listen, you are crucified with Christ. And since Christ died and only died once, and you're crucified with Christ, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, so that sin won't reign in your mortal body. See, you're dead in Christ. The Bible says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? So if that's the case, then whatever you're coveting is being coveted by a corpse. Well, think about it. You don't need that. You're dead. You can't have that. You're dead. Do you understand? Recognize that you are on the cross with the Lord. That what you're coveting is something you can't have. And then what do? Go a different way. Psalm 139, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what David said, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you realize you're a new creature in Christ? You're not only crucified with Christ, but Paul said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You're a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So yield to the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you. In Romans chapter 6, Paul goes on to say, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Sin's not supposed to have dominion over you. In other words, you're a new creature in Christ, so yield to the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, and let Him lead you to something that is far better than what you've been coveting. See, you've been coveting this possession, this person, this man, this woman, this wealth, this status, this position in the company, whatever it may be, you've been coveting that. That thing is more important to you, see, than God. And what's going to happen is Jesus will take that thing away when you quit coveting, and He'll show you something that is better that you couldn't have seen because of the idol that was raised up in your heart. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man. Go a different way. And then finally this, we're talking about how to deal with covetousness. Once the Lord has searched you and you have seen the sin, acknowledge it, repent of it, recognize that you're dead, determined to go a different way, let him lead you in the way everlasting. And then this, and this is so important, love the Lord instead. When the lawyer asked Jesus Christ about the great commandment, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So, since covetousness is idolatry, then covetousness leads you to love the thing you covet more than you love the Lord. That's the problem with this sin. You love the thing you covet more than you love the Lord. You don't believe that, but God knows it to be so. So replace your love for the thing you covet or the person you covet with your love for the Lord. Fill your heart, fill your soul, and fill your mind with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Magnify Him in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit. Praise Him. Thank Him. Think about Him. Read His Word. Sing to Him. Talk to Him. And like Solomon described in the Proverbs, be ravished with His love. Do you understand? If there's something inside of you that wants something, you can find that if you fill your heart, your mind, and your soul with the love of the Lord God, the thing that you want is not going to compare at all to the love of God, which is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's not going to compare at all. So what's the conclusion of the matter? Covetousness is a terrible sin. And it's really bad because most people that have it don't believe that they're dealing with it. It's hard to deal with. So do this. Ask the Lord to search you and start by recognizing when He shows you that it is in you. And then work through these things we've talked about today to deal with this sin in your life so that it doesn't magnify itself into idolatry and put itself between you and God. We don't want that. We don't want that. We want to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. And it's going to be impossible for you to do it until you deal with this sin. And may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.